and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, is the widespread use of execution, and in particular, the widespread execution of young men, the reason why civilization, Western civilization, managed to develop and managed to fly as high as it did, and indeed even the reason why Christianity managed to develop? Because there is certainly a school of thought that says this is indeed the case, that what the Roman Empire and then later medieval Europe engaged in was a kind of genetic pacification. We might call it the taming of the gene, which altered the very nature of European people such that they were higher in pro-social traits such as agreeableness, conscientiousness, that they were lower in antisocial traits, i.e. neuroticism, feeling very negative feelings, you know, anger and aggression and whatever, strongly, that they would have been higher in intelligence. And in so much as these things all go together because of the things we select for tend to be pleiotropically related for, they tend to go together with genetic health, higher perhaps in genetic health as well. Is this what happened? Well, possibly. And there's an interesting paper that started this off in 2010 by Peter Frost called The Roman State and Genetic Pacification. And what he argues is that the use of state violence essentially made the Roman Empire less violent. You would be executed in the Roman Empire for really quite minor crimes. So, and who was being executed? Who commits crimes and therefore gets executed for them? Well, it is young men, overwhelmingly, because young men are high in testosterone, young men are, relative to older men, they are aggressive, they are neurotic in the sense of feeling anger and negative feelings like that. They are low in impulse control and they are low in agreeableness, because all of those traits, agreeableness, low neuroticism and conscientiousness, tend to increase with age. So you have this very aggressive subset of the population. They are also what predicts criminality, even if you control for age. What predicts criminality is that you have relatively low intelligence, so you can't correctly anticipate the consequences of your actions, and you live in the now and you're highly impulsive and you're not very empathetic. And also what predicts criminality is being low in agreeableness, which means you're low in empathy, you only care about yourself, is being low in impulse control, and is being high in neuroticism, i.e. in being aggressive and angry and traits like that. So it would have been those kinds of people that were being executed every generation. So the process among the young men, and that's important because these men would have been sufficiently young that they wouldn't have been able to have got round to passing on their genes yet. And so therefore you are altering the genotype of the population via state violence. You are changing it such that it is more pro-social, such that it is perhaps more intelligent, and possibly also that it is genetically just better, of better genetic health, but certainly so that it is more pro-social. You're changing the way people behave. And Frost argues that this created a people that were relatively peaceful and a people that were relatively submissive. And this allowed, or indeed it was reflected in, the rise of Christianity, which can be seen, at least in certain forms at the very beginning, as a religion of peace, a religion that preaches very strongly that everybody should get along, that everybody should be highly pro-social, that it is God's will that everybody is highly pro-social, and that there is no violence and all of the, and all of this sort of thing. It allows for the rise of that, of Christianity. Now, he then wrote another paper called Western Europe, State Formation and Genetic Pacification, in which we take this into the realm of medieval Europe. Now, what happens, of course, after the collapse of Rome is that society, for various reasons, due to what happens in the winter of civilization, due to the fact that Rome is very, very luxurious, and this seems to militate against people that have high IQ breeding, and so intelligence seems to go down, and per capita major innovation goes down, and we collapse it into anarchy and violence, essentially. And so then, as we move towards the medieval period, we have a Christianity that is in charge of the the now post-Roman Empire, which is against violence, it doesn't use execution. It doesn't employ it. People are not executed in this context. And this begins to change at the beginning of the medieval era, and there starts to be again this view, and you could argue it's adaptive. You're under harsh group selection against other groups. This is an adaptive thing to be initiated. That the violent should be executed, the bad, the evil, should be executed so that the good can live in peace. And so there's been this long period with the collapse of Rome and of Roman Empire and the rise of Christianity where people haven't been being executed. And perhaps what this has resulted in is society becoming more violent, more chaotic, collapse in per capita major innovation, collapse in basically civilization. And so they change the rules, and suddenly it becomes that, yeah, if you commit a serious crime, then you will be executed. And by the High Middle Ages, you have a situation where any felony is punishable by death. And so this includes things like stealing or whatever, you'll be hanged. So, and who is it, of course, that is being executed? Again, it is people who commit crimes. Who are those people? Well, remember, it's the genetic thing, because intelligence is about 0.8 heritable, personality about 0.5 heritable. It's people who have low intelligence. It's people who have low general factor of personality, i.e. high neuroticism, low conscientiousness and low agreeableness. It is those people, and they are being executed. They are overwhelmingly going to be young men, and they are being executed before they have a chance to pass on their genes. And Frost estimates, that, Frost and Harpending rather, estimate that it was something like 2% of the male population every generation who were being executed. And they use the breeder's equation to calculate that this would have had an effect. This would have impacted the based on the heritability of the traits and the extent to which they were doing it. This would have impacted the nature of the population. This would have, again, retamed the gene and made people more pro-social, more pacified, more submissive. And what that results in is a society that is higher in internal cooperation, a society which is probably more, he doesn't look at this, but it's probably more intelligent, and therefore a society which becomes more like a civilization. Because what predicts at the individual level, high socioeconomic status, its intelligence and its pro-social personality, and what predicts it at the group level is certainly these kinds of cognitive abilities as well. So you can see how this can be a factor in the development of civilization, and possibly even then for various other reasons, then we become very, very intelligent, but we maintain a Jewish taboo from Christianity on contraception, which means that we keep going with more intelligent people out. It's so taboo to use contraception that more intelligent people keep outbreeding less intelligent people for even longer than would have been the case in the Roman Empire, and so we end up with the Industrial Revolution and all that we have now. Now, that's a possibility. Now, another paper on this then was by myself and Guy Madison, Execution, Violent Punishment and Selection for Religiousness in Medieval England. And here we looked at the heritability of religiousness, and we looked at the personality traits which predict being religious, and that is to say high conscientiousness, high agreeableness and low neuroticism. That's what predicts being religious, and it's also what predicts not being a criminal. It's what predicts being law-abiding. And again, we calculated across time, and 2% of the male population being killed every generation. And again, we used the breeder's equation, and we looked at the extent to which being a religious renouncer, i.e. a person that joins a religious community, that renounces society and becomes a monk or a nun, and the degree to which these rise across time, across the Middle Ages, as a marker of people becoming very, very religious. And what you find is that one predicts the other. We showed this. It was the process of execution was causal in medieval Europe becoming ever more, not just pacified and pro-social and whatever, but ever more religious. And so, therefore, it is that process of execution which can be seen to be behind, in part, The rise, or a huge rise, in religiosity, and you do see this. They were much more religious. They were much more extreme about religiosity that you see in late medieval Europe and moving into the early modern period, i.e., into Tudor England and so forth. They're much more religious to the extent that heretics and heresy and whatever was basically tolerated in the High Middle Ages. Witchcraft was tolerated in the High Middle Ages. Other religions were tolerated in the High Middle Ages. You get to the late Middle Ages and the early modern period, and they're burning heretics at the stake and all of this kind of thing. They are much, much more religious because we were selecting for that via the process of genetic pacification, where we were selecting for the personality traits that are associated with religiousness via executing 2% of the male population every generation before they had a chance to pass on their genes. Now, of course, what you then get as we move on is the removal of of this process of execution, and that can be expected. I don't know if anyone's calculated this, but that can be expected to have serious consequences in terms of no longer purging from the gene pool before they can pass on their genes these aggressive, violent males. And that can be expected to change the nature of society and make it basically, well, not only less religious, but also much more aggressive, much less cooperative, and just generally much nastier. So the taming of the gene via execution of young men may well be quite central to the rise and perhaps fall of Western civilization. Are you ready for the future of the West? Are you ready for the future of the West?